From Iowa Public Radio News, this is the legislative podcast, Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble. In March, a one-page bill passed unanimously in the House. It places the county seal on voting ballots.
Next up, Subcommittee Hall, House File 2486, myself. This is the local government, state government. This bill adds conditions to printing of the ballots and impression of likeness county seals. Is there discussion?
In June, as the first week of the session resumes, this bill comes before the Senate State Government Committee. They are meeting in the Senate chamber late on a Friday night.
We went over the first part of this in the subcommittee, so I will go to the strike all amendment. There are amendments, Mr. Chair.
Republican Senator Robbie Smith introduces an amendment that changes the House bill from one page to 30 pages. Senator Smith says it will strengthen Iowa's voter ID law
and ensure Iowa registered voters continue to have safe, secure, and reliable elections.
Previously, this bill had nothing to do with voting other than identifying on the ballot the county it comes from. The new amendment also proposes changes related to absentee voting. Committee member Democratic Senator Pam Yoakum asks for this new amendment to be ruled not germane.
This amendment has nothing to do with the original intent of the bill that came from the House.
The chair of the committee, Senator Craig Johnson, says he doesn't have to make a ruling on the amendment's germaneness.
Senate Rule 12, discussing whether or not an amendment is germane, clearly applies to floor debate and not debate in committee.
One of the biggest objections Democrats have with this amendment is it forbids the Secretary of State from sending absentee ballot request forms unless a voter asks for one. This is not a ballot, but a request to be sent an absentee ballot. Due to the pandemic, Republican Secretary of State Paul Pate used his office's emergency powers this spring to send absentee ballot request forms to approximately 2 million registered voters in Iowa. This was for the June 2nd primary. The Secretary of State also expanded the mail-in voting period from 29 days to 40 days. This amendment would reduce the mail-in voting period to 21 days. Democratic Senator Tony Bisignano says he is upset this amendment is moving forward in this committee and says the lack of a ruling on germaneness is an abuse of power.
And I'm angry that I'm here now on a Friday night during a pandemic, doing stupid bills we've been doing all day. And we end with the worst of all, the potpourri that's been trying to get through this place for years. And we did it with an abuse of power to get it done. So I hope you're happy. And we're here wasting our time, and I'll bet this doesn't see the light of day in the House.
After some of the senators speak, Committee Chair Johnson is ready to move to closing comments.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Senator Smith.
Democratic Senator Zach Walls asks to speak.
I'm sorry you can't.
Senator Walls requests unanimous consent to speak to the committee, but it only requires one objection for it to not happen, which comes from Senator Robbie Smith.
Do I have unanimous
objection?
Consent? Objection.
Senator Bisignano is outraged.
Senator Smith. Senator Smith, you're in order for closing comments on
point of order.
The
point of order.
Point of order has been called, Senator Smith.
Can we have respect in this chamber for the Senate chamber?
Senator Smith, you're in order for closing comments.
Yes. Senator Smith moves the amendment, and it passes out of the committee. The next week, it comes before the full Senate.
This legislation does not ban or limit voters to cast an absentee ballot. It codifies current practices pre-coronavirus pandemic. In Division 3 alone, there are three additional ways voters can vote by absentee ballot.
There is a revised amendment that reduces the original amendment by a few pages. This amendment still prohibits the Secretary of State from mailing an application for an absentee ballot to a person who has not made that request. Democratic Senator Pam Yoakum says sending out an application for an absentee ballot to all registered voters is one of the reasons a record 522,000 votes were cast during the June 2nd primary.
411,000 of them did it by absentee ballot. Of those 411,000, 232,000 were Democrats, 177,000 were Republicans. We should be celebrating the very fact that we've had so many more people voting And some will say, well, you know, it's been a COVID and they were at home and then everything else to do. Well, wrong. They voted because we made it easy.
Democratic Senator Janet Peterson says sending a ballot request encourages Iowans who have challenges to getting to the poll on Election Day to vote by absentee ballot.
And so here we are punishing Iowans who showed up and voted for Democrats and Republicans. Old Iowans, Iowans with disabilities, Iowans in rural areas, Iowans without cars. Why would we punish them? Why would we punish them by taking away the authority of those who are responsible for clean, safe elections? It's embarrassing that this bill is before us.
But Republican Senator Marionette Miller Meeks says sending an unsolicited ballot request invites fraud.
I had people contact me who had received absentee ballot requests for people who were no longer at the residence where the ballot was mailed to. Now, those ballots were not returned, but when an absentee ballot request goes to a resident and there's no one there, then you have the potential for fraud.
In Senator Robbie Smith's closing remarks, he says nobody will miss a vote if his proposal becomes law.
The tool for absentee balloting is still there. Every single person in Iowa can vote absentee if they'd like. So to sit here and say there's no tool, you're taking a tool away, where is that? Once again, press, where is it? Where's it in the bill? Where are we taking the tool? We're taking away absentee ballot voting in Iowa? Are you kidding me?
This bill passes out of the Senate, mostly on party lines. The next day, it comes before the House, but there is an amendment changing much of what passed in the Senate. Republican Representative Bobby Kaufman says the House amendment focuses on the Secretary of State making changes.
This is about one individual not having unchecked power to change election law without the legislature's consultation.
This House amendment does not say what a Secretary of State can or can't do. Instead, it requires a Secretary of State's plan to get approval from the legislature. If the legislature isn't in session, it would go before the Legislative Council.
Yes, what he did was legal. No, what he did was not responsible. Because it sets a precedent that while you might like what happened this time, when, for instance, the absentee ballot day extension was moved from 29 to 40, it sets the precedent that next time it could be moved from 29 to 5. And so whether you're on the right or the left on this issue, I think we can all unite behind the fact that the Secretary of State does not create law. We do.
Kaufman says this amendment was authored with Democratic Representative Bruce Hunter. Hunter says the Iowa State Association of County Auditors had concerns about the Senate version, and they support this House amendment.
This amendment happened because we did listen to those concerns. Because we listened to the concerns of our voters, we listened to the concerns of our constituents. And this is what can happen when we do listen.
This version of the bill passes the House and goes back to the Senate, where Senate Democrats argue, since the Secretary of State is an elected official, that office should not require legislative approval to modify an election. The bill passes and can now be signed into law. For future elections, including the presidential election in November, the Secretary of State could repeat what was done for the June primary. The biggest difference is the plan could be vetoed by the 24 members of the Legislative Council. This is Under the Golden Dome from Iowa Public Radio. I'm John Pimble.
Under the Golden Dome is made possible by the members of Iowa Public Radio. Make a gift and become a member today at iowapublicradio.org/donate.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by the Iowa Bankers Association and by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, fostering causes that enrich the community, generate understanding, and cultivate compassion, including Above and Beyond Cancer.
Every day since the session resumed, there have been protests across the country. They started on May 26th, the day after George Floyd, an African-American, was killed in Minneapolis while in police custody as an officer knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. Some of these protests have involved arrests and conflict with law enforcement. In response, 5 African-American legislators in the House of Representatives proposed a plan called More Perfect Union. In the final days before the end of the session, judiciary committees passed legislation based on this proposal. It is in 4 parts. First, it allows the Attorney General to prosecute a criminal offense committed by a law enforcement officer. Second, deadly force or a chokehold from an officer is only justified when a person cannot be captured any other way and the person has used or threatened to use deadly force in committing a felony. Third, a law enforcement officer cannot be hired if they were fired from their last law enforcement job due to serious misconduct. And fourth, a law enforcement agency shall provide annual training to every law enforcement officer on issues relating to de-escalation techniques and the prevention of bias. The bill comes before the House floor. The 5 members of the Iowa Legislative Black Caucus are among those who speak. Here's Representative Phyllis Thede from Scott County. She's been a legislator since 2009.
Each of us struggles to understand why this happened. In the blink of an eye, we had experienced actually 2 enormous things in our lifetime, the COVID-19 and the death of George Floyd. I finally ask myself, where should we go from here? I know we can't turn back the clock, and of course, I don't want to. But we need to try and make something positive out of these life-changing events. We need to seek new ways of living that will bring about what is best for all. Our families, our friends, our coworkers, our businesses, and our country. We will forge a new normal. Hopefully, one with love for all mankind. My greatest wish is that all of you find peace through these turbulent times. So for today, and I hold in my hand this wonderful pieces of paper that we will enact today. And this will bring a small piece of hope to the future. It is a step, but it's a step in the right direction.
Here's Representative Ross Wilburn from Story County. He was sworn into the House of Representatives in January.
The United States Constitution in the preamble begins, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice and ensure domestic tranquility." That's the very first charge. And when Iowa became part of the Union, we said, we're going to establish justice. And that moved towards domestic tranquility. I'm not a lawyer, but I think in that sense they mean peace between the states. But I think we can also extend that to peace between us as Iowans and as human beings. So it's really about an active march towards a more perfect union, which what the original plan was named. It's a lot of people have felt disenfranchised, not just with what's happening in the state, but within the country and around the world, and have felt in some ways the civil rights movement, despite gains over past years, has become stagnant. And so it's critical that we continue that active work. In the last week, I took a point of personal privilege before we left, and I spoke about moments in time and moments in history, not only in this country and state, but right outside the very steps of this Capitol. And it's an important first step, as has been mentioned already. And that work will continue. It has to continue. After we adjourn end this particular session, it has to continue on towards other parts of criminal justice reform. And for some who are in disenfranchised groups, criminal justice reform or justice efforts can't be just directed at just us. It's got to be all of us in order to be fair.
This is Representative Ruth Ann Gaines from Polk County. She has been in the legislature since 2011.
Previously, I mentioned Rosa Parks. I know a lot about her because I had an opportunity to play her at the Des Moines Community Playhouse several years ago. And one of the lines that I memorized goes like this. Sometimes the Lord chooses us for special things. As I watched the memorial service for George Floyd, those words rang in my head. Sometimes the Lord chooses us for special things. I'm not necessarily saying that the Lord chose George Floyd to die, thus good things would happen. But if you're a Christian, as I am, you have to consider that his death and what has happened and is happening since then is food for thought. Too long have black men and women been persecuted by the police. Too long have black mothers waited for their sons to come home to only find out that they've been killed in the street. Too long have children waited for their black fathers, finding out that they would never come home. When will it end? George Floyd has become a special person in death because he, as a symbol of life, is saying, we won't have to wait anymore. The time is now. I never would have dreamed that I could stand on the floor of the Iowa legislature and support a bill that would help all of this indignity to black Americans stop. But here I am. And here it is.
This is Representative Ross Smith from Blackhawk County. He has been a legislator since 2017.
You know, as a body, by default, we have committed here today to shouldering a burden to ensure that George Floyd or the scores before him doesn't take place in our state, not on our watch. These past few months have been really, really difficult for some of us. It's been a really difficult time in the history of our planet. But on this day, with everything that makes us different, that doesn't even make a difference, on this day in this body, the sunlight shines a little bit brighter. And it shines brighter because not only of the work that we're doing today, but it's illuminated the path towards our nation's greatest promise of liberty and justice for all people.
Here is Representative Akeo Abdul-Samad. His first term in the House was in 2007.
This is the first step to get to the end of the tunnel. This is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we must be able to run this marathon together. And if any of us drop out at this marathon and we quit listening to these young people, we quit listening to one another, we quit learning from one another, then we lose as a state. We have a chance to make history in the state of Iowa and send this message across this country that no longer are we sick and tired, like Family Lou Hamer said, but we're no longer going to put up to it because no longer is Dr. King saying, I have a dream, it's just a nightmare. We are going to bring it to a reality and we're going to bring it to fruition because we are Iowa, and we are Iowans, and we're going to make it happen with all of us together. We refuse to be defeated. We refuse to let people talk about we can't come together. You see a bipartisan bill going to hit the floor that knows it's only the first step to what we have to do. And I'm saying to you today, my beloved brothers and sisters, and I mean all of you, Not only are you part of history, you are rectifying history. And that is something that you can tell your babies, your grandchildren, so they can tell this story from now on, what we did in Iowa.
This bill passes unanimously in the House. Minutes later, it also passes unanimously in the Senate. Governor Reynolds has signed the bill, and it is now a law. This is Under the Golden Dome from Iowa Public Radio. I'm John Pimble.
A good civics lesson teaches you how to be an engaged citizen, and listening to Under the Golden Dome helps you be an engaged Iowan. When you become a member of Iowa Public Radio, you support coverage that keeps you engaged and informed. Give now at iowapublicradio.org/donate. It takes just a few minutes to make a powerful impact.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, and by the Iowa Bankers Association. Helping Iowans reach their financial goals is what Iowa banks are all about. Discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks by following Iowa Bankers on Facebook and Twitter.
During this two-year General Assembly, there were two prominent constitutional amendments. One concerned the automatic restoration of felon voting rights. The House passed the resolution last year, but it did not come before the Senate. Another constitutional amendment that did not make it through this General Assembly is one stating the Constitution does not grant a right to an abortion. It passed the Senate, but did not come up for a vote in the House. In March, a bill prohibiting a court from withdrawing life-sustaining procedures from a minor if a parent or guardian objects passed in the House 94-6. On Saturday afternoon, it comes to the Senate, and there is a small amendment making a small change. The bill goes back to the House on Saturday night, and Republican Representative Shannon Lundgren presents an unexpected amendment.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I offer Amendment H8314, based on a 1992 Supreme Court decision in Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania versus Casey, where the U.S. Supreme Court decided that a 24-hour waiting period was not an undue burden.
The amendment requires a woman to wait 24 hours after a doctor's appointment to have an abortion. Lundgren compares other things with waiting periods.
Iowa has a 3-day waiting period for marriage license, 72-hour waiting period for after a birth for an adoption, and a 90-day waiting period for divorce.
Democratic Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle opposes the amendment.
I trust an Iowa woman to make her own sexual and reproductive health care decisions, much as each of us take on the responsibility to stay safe, wash our hands, stay home when we are sick, and wear a face mask. I trust Iowa women to do the right thing.
Republican Representative Sandy Salmon says other states have waiting periods for abortion.
Waiting periods help ensure that decisions are made not under duress and not under undue influences. It is hoped that after taking time to consider it, a woman would choose life over death.
After a 45-minute debate, the bill passes the House. A few hours later, at 4 in the morning, this bill comes back to the Senate. Senators mostly debate about the morality of abortion. Democratic Senator Joe Bolcom says he respects that some people's faith influences their belief.
I also respect the separation of church and state in making laws that apply to all Iowans. Iowans hold all sorts of beliefs. I think we can all agree that every pregnancy is unique and that people must have the freedom to make decisions about their pregnancy in consultation with their doctor.
Republican Senator Jake Chapman has often led abortion restriction bills over the years.
We often hear, it's my body, my choice. I agree with the notion that we have bodily autonomy. But where I disagree is that there is a second body involved, a second person involved. We may just respectfully disagree on that premise. But that child, that baby, when they don't have their health, when they're aborted, their life truly does come to a halt.
Around 5:30 in the morning, The Senate passes the bill with this abortion amendment. It can now be signed into law by Governor Kim Reynolds. In a press release, the governor praises the passage of this legislation. In 2018, a law with a 72-hour waiting period was struck down by the Iowa Supreme Court. The majority ruling stated it violated both due process and equal protection clauses of the Iowa Constitution. In 2020, there are four new justices on the Supreme Court. They were appointed by Governor Kim Reynolds. Governor Reynolds has said when she picked these justices, she did not ask them to make promises concerning how they would rule on abortion cases. The governor has stated many times she disagrees with the 2018 Supreme Court ruling. Abortion isn't the only issue discussed during the final hours of this year's session on Sunday. The final budget bill has an amendment about absentee ballot request forms. It was originally part of a 30-page amendment proposed in the Senate earlier this week. The amendment that is part of the budget bill is short. It's about filling out an absentee ballot request form with a person's county auditor. When filling out an absentee ballot request form, a registered voter has to include their driver's license number or a four-digit number from their voter identification card. Under this proposal, if the voter is using a voter ID number and they write down the wrong number or it is not legible, the county auditor has 24 hours to contact them. The auditor can only use the contact information written on the absentee ballot request form. The auditor cannot use the voter registration system to get the person's contact information. This is one of the issues debated in the middle of the night by the Senate. In the House, it's the focal point for the final 2 hours of this year's legislative session. Democratic Representative Bruce Hunter asks Republican Representative Bobby Kaufman to yield.
Of course, one of the items that the Senate sent over to us on this budget bill is the part about missing information on absentee ballot requests. I still don't understand. What's the intent of this? I just don't understand.
The intent of this is to ensure that the person that actually wants a ballot is the person that gets a ballot. This is not really big draconian policies. This is not voter suppression, no matter how many times you say it.
Democratic Representative Mary Masher says if the county auditor cannot reach the voter by phone or email, they can send a letter.
Well, that's fine, except what if it's in the last days of the election? Good luck getting that letter to them and the correction made before the election. That's the problem. That is where the rights are being denied.
Republican Representative Gary Moore is the floor manager for the amendment. He says this is about voter security. Minority Leader Todd Pritchard asks Representative Moore to yield to questions.
You mentioned that the purpose of this legislation is voter security. What is voter security?
Making sure that the person who applies for an absentee ballot is in fact the person who casts that absentee ballot.
Did we have a voter security problem in the last June primary that happened on the 2nd?
I don't know, Representative. All I'm saying, as I mentioned earlier in my comments, the purpose of this legislation is going forward to help ensure that the person who applies for the absentee ballot is the one who casts the absentee ballot.
But yet you're not aware of any issues that we had on June 2nd. You said you don't know.
No, you said you don't know. That's right, because it's not in my purview to go around the state looking and investigating voter fraud.
A procedure called time certain has been applied to this budget bill. By 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, all debate must stop. As floor manager Gary Moore delivers his closing remarks, he compares the voter ID amendment to a security system.
My wife and I have been married 46 years. We've been blessed to never have a home burglary. But what I've heard today is, particularly from my friends on the other side of the aisle, to say, Gary, you don't need to go buy an alarm system or a home security system, because you have 46 years of history of never needing it. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, We don't just pass legislation based on what's happened historically. But I might go buy a home security system, not because of the history of 46 years of never needing it, but I might want to protect my family and my wife and myself for the future.
The voter ID amendment passes as part of the budget bill. Concerning the budget, one thing that's different this year is the Department of Management and the governor have more flexibility in allocating money to departments. This includes what to do with federal money the state may receive for COVID-19 relief. It's been called a status quo budget, meaning in fiscal year 2021, most departments will receive close to what they were allocated in fiscal year 2020. But there are some cuts. The amount of money for fiscal year 2021 is $7.78 billion.
As we return home, be safe, because the threat from COVID is not yet over.
In the final moments of the session, Minority Leader Todd Pritchard gives his end of session speech.
There is more we could have done during this COVID session to keep workers safe. Make sure healthcare is affordable and accessible, gives businesses the tools they need to be successful, and gives every child a world-class education in a safe environment. Instead of working on COVID relief together, the majority passed legislation in the closing hours of session to stop Iowans from voting and pass more restrictions on a woman's right to make her own health care decisions. While we should have worked together to do more for COVID relief, Democrats will keep listening and working to help our communities through this time.
For Speaker of the House Pat Grassley's final speech, he praises Representative Akeo Abdul-Samad and Representative Roz Smith for working on the More Perfect Union proposal that passed earlier in the week.
Thank you for all the work that we put in these last couple weeks to be able to really take a step forward and take that first step that we've talked about. And one thing I actually will never forget, Akeo, is when we were in my office, and I think I might have said this the other day, is about listening. And I think that really is a message that we all need to take to heart, regardless of what the issue is. But this one, most of all, and I hope you know that when I made that commitment to you to try to work to find some resolution, as well as you, Leader Pritchard, and you, Representative Smith, I tried to uphold my end of that deal that I made with you, and hopefully you feel that I have.
Speaker Grassley thanks the body for giving him the opportunity to lead as Speaker for the first time this year.
I've always tried to do it in an open manner where I was fair, whether it was on a ruling, whether a bill was germane or a point of order. I've always tried to handle myself fairly with everyone in here, and I think that's what you'd ask of me. So with that, thank you all, and God bless this great state.
At 1:39 on Sunday afternoon, Majority Leader Matt Winchittle makes a motion for House Concurrent Resolution 109.
And now the sentence that we've all been waiting over 2.5 months to hear. Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn, sine die.
All heard the motion. The gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchittle. All those in favor should vote aye.
Aye.
All those opposed should vote no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And the House adjourns. Sine die.
This is the last planned episode of Under the Golden Dome for 2020 and the 88th Iowa General Assembly. Lots of help for, during, and after the session comes from Iowa Public Radio Statehouse reporter Katerina Sestarik. Also from Iowa Public Radio reporters Grant Gerlach, Natalie Krebs, and Clay Masters. Iowa Public Radio News Director Michael Leland provided weekly guidance and script editing. We worked with our talk show team producers, Caitlin Harrop, Matt Alvarez, Rick Brewer, and host Ben Kiefer. A big thank you to Radio Iowa's News Director Kay Henderson for invaluable insights and help. Also, a great deal of thanks to every member of the Capitol Press Pool, from those at print, web, blogs, television, radio. There was a lot of sharing and collaboration. It all meant a lot. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm John Pimple. Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio.